So today we're going to be in chapter 6 of Romans. We're in verse 15 to 23. I was talking to someone this week, and they said they didn't like going to church because all they ever talked about was sin. Sin, 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 sin. And I almost feel like apologizing for that this week, because that's what we're going to be talking about. But isn't that really why Christ came in the first place? Was to save us from sin. Therefore, sin is probably one of the most important things we talk about, because it's what helps us find Christ and salvation. So I'm not going to apologize. Today we'll be talking about sin. Romans 6, 15 to 23. Before we begin, let me have a word of prayer with you. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you so much for our Savior Jesus. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for your word. And we pray that as we open your word and read it this morning and look upon it, that you might open our hearts, open our eyes, let us see with your eyes what you have written for us. Let us understand in our hearts, and let it cause change to take place in our lives. And we ask all this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. So, Romans 6, if you have that open, let's look at that. Romans 6, verse 15. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at the time from the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? So, if you recall, a few weeks ago, we were at the end of verse 14 in chapter 6, and Paul said that sin had no dominion over us since we were not under the law but under grace. And Paul now decides he better clarify his statement because he knew someday I'd be reading this. And he knew that I would come across this and twist it, because that's what men do. He states here that we have no business taking advantage of this concept. See, he knew we'd be looking at the statement, and then we'd begin to think. That's our first problem. We begin to think about it, and we'd say, if sin has no dominion, then there's no consequence to sin. And if that's true, then we could just go out and sin all the time and never be concerned about it. Because wouldn't God's grace cover over all of our sin? So Paul says, what, are you nuts? Of course not. That's kind of my paraphrase of what he said. He said, of course not. No, that's not the intention. And then he explains his idea, or his concept that he's bringing here. He says, don't you know that if you present yourselves as slaves to a master, you are slaves to whatever master you present yourselves? So if you present yourselves as a slave to sin, you become sin's slave and sin becomes your master. But if you present yourselves to God in obedience, then God is your master, and his end result is sanctification through righteousness and salvation and eternal life. So we look at this and we say, if you present yourself to sin, then sin becomes your master. So you start out saying, well, I'll just do a little sin. Like there is such a thing. I'll just do a little sin. But then that little sin becomes a bigger sin, and that bigger sin begins to grow, and pretty soon you are presenting yourself to sin. And sin becomes a career. And the end of your career is death. And so, Paul's warning us and telling us that ultimately that master will kill you and you will have no life at all whatsoever. But if you will turn to righteousness, if you will make yourself obedient to God and follow him, then God will lead you through righteousness to eternal life. God becomes your loving master. And he wants the very best for you, and he offers you the best things that you have. And in Proverbs 12:28 says, in the path of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. So Paul's reminding us of this and bringing us to this point that we might understand it. He wants us to see there is a consequence for who your master is. Okay? So you ask then, how does this work in real life? How do we see this? And I would say, look at Luke 15, verses 11 to 24. I'll let you read it this afternoon for homework. I'll give you kind of the Cliff Notes version of it here. We see, if you recall, this young man who takes his inheritance and he goes off to a foreign land. Could be anywhere. You know, someplace, I don't know, like California. And when he gets there, he begins to live out his life's wildest dreams. He begins to do everything that he's ever wanted to do. And he begins to indulge himself in all the sins that are available. And the more he sins, the more he indulges. And the more he indulges, the more he presents himself to sin as his master. And then comes the end of the gravy train for him. Could be, stock market crash. Could be he lost his job. Could be a bad economy. Could be gas prices at $7 a gallon. Could be something. Whatever it is, he begins to find himself in poverty. He finds himself in a struggle for his life. He finds himself having to work and live in a manner that he never wanted to do. And he finds himself dying, both physically and spiritually. And the story says that he came to his senses. I love the way it writes that. Came to his senses. He realized what was wrong. And what was wrong was that he had made sin his master. And he was doing everything in his life to serve his master. And he realized what he needed to do. He needed to get a new master. And so the story tells us that the young man sought out a new master, his father. If you remember the story, he says, "None of my father's servants are without bread. None of my father's servants are in a position like me. I need to go back to my father. I need to go back to my master and make my father my master. I'll go and beg him for a job. I'll go and ask him to take care of me. I'll go and make him my master." Well, Paul is using this and he's helping us to see that every one of us if we have come to Christ, has done just what that son did. We have all turned away from our old master, and we have made God our new master. Right? We have all made that change. We are now, instead of presenting ourselves to sin, we are now presenting ourselves to God as our master. And we are now called children of God. This is the complete opposite of our old life. Every one of us who has accepted King Jesus as our master has made this change. And Paul says, thanks be to God that we have left our old life in sin and become obedient to God. We have done this in our heart. This is leading us to a new way of life in Jesus. And we should be thankful that we have come to our senses, that we came to our senses, that we turned away from our old life and sought God as our new life. And Paul is not saying that we saved ourselves. Don't get me wrong. We weren't saved because I decided to look for a new master. We were saved because Jesus Christ died on the cross, because he paid the price that we couldn't pay. And God drew us to him. And God forgives us of our sin because of our faith in Christ and his grace to us. So don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to teach you something differently, but Paul is saying that you realized you were a slave to sin and you needed to get a new master. And so he sought God, and God revealed himself to you, and he took you out of your sin, and he placed you on solid ground. And now, having been freed from sin, you are a slave to righteousness. Now, in Matthew 6, verse 24, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Jesus is telling us you can only have one master. Either your master will be God, or your master will be everything else, or anything else. Your master will be sin, or your master will be God. And you can't have two. That's a challenging thing. The world doesn't like to see that, because the world likes to think they can kind of spread themselves out. You know, they're working the room. They'll have three or four. You don't have three or four masters. Either God is your master or sin is your master. And Paul uses this idea of slavery. I know it's really an uncomfortable topic sometimes, but he uses it because he intends for us to understand what the outcome is when we present ourselves, when we turn ourselves over to sin, when we make sin our master. He's helping us to see that under sin, you're not obedient because of joy and love. You're obedient out of fear. You're obedient out of shame. You're obedient out of worry what might come. And the more you seek sin, the more sin consumes you. The more sin takes over your life. The more sin drives you away from God. And ultimately, sin drives you to death. And in the same way, when we live and change our master and turn ourselves over to God, Paul says we leave that old life. We are no longer bound to our sin. We are no longer bound to that way of life. Instead, we have turned ourselves over to God, who is a great and wonderful, loving master, who now says, you're not just a servant or a slave of mine. No, you become a child of mine. You become an heir of mine. You are a partaker of everything my kingdom has to offer you. See, this is a great difference. And what we find is we're now freed from that sin and its ultimate end, which is death, and we are freed to be with God. And now He becomes our Master. He becomes our Father. And He's the one who loves us and cares for us and provides for us and does everything for us and brings us into sanctification, that process of maturing in Him to be the people He wants you to be. We're no longer obligated under sin. In sin, we were without God and we were suffering unto death. But now we are freed from that and we are striving toward life eternal. And Paul can say to us, we should give thanks to God that we're no longer under that compulsion that brings our death. But we are blessed and made new in Jesus, and we are free to serve Him out of our heart's desire. Our obedience to righteousness leads to sanctification, and from sanctification to righteousness, and from righteousness to eternal life. And this is not something that happens as that brings our salvation. Our salvation is given to us by God, and all the rest of this comes with it afterward. These are the benefits that come from our justification. This comes from our salvation in Christ. It is not what leads to it, because that would be working for it, but rather God gives it to us, His free gift, and we then use from that day become more like Him. We're moving toward Him. Paul continues on with his metaphor, and he says that just as you were free from righteousness when you were a sinner and devoted yourself to sin, shouldn't you then also devote yourself to righteousness and reject the sin? And the benefits are so much greater in doing that. He starts out by saying, when you were in sin, you devoted yourself to that with all your being. Shouldn't you now that you have changed and become Christ's child, that you become God's son or daughter, shouldn't you now be devoting yourself to God in that same way? Shouldn't you be turned to Him and serving Him? And Paul calls the benefits the fruit of our obedience. And he reminds us that in sin, we live to die, but in righteousness, our obedience leads to sanctification. And the end result of sanctification is eternal life. And Paul is helping us to remember the reason why we were here. And this is the key. Why are we here? We are here to glorify God and do His will. That's our purpose. And so He wants us to remember that as children of God, our purpose is that, and we should be making this distinction, as He is, between life in sin, which leads to death, and life in righteousness, which leads to eternal life. That's where He wants us to go. That's what Paul's reminding us. And then he makes this great statement at the end. And I don't know if you remember, there was a daily program that used to be on the radio. I used to hear it about 10 years ago because I used to listen to a lot of talk radio on the way home from work every day. So every afternoon, I would hear this little five-minute thing. It was called The Rest of the Story by Paul Harvey. And Paul Harvey would start out by telling you a statement or telling you an event that took place. And then he would tell you all of the background to that event or to that saying. And at the end of it, he would say, and now you know the rest of the story. I'm Paul Harvey. Good day. And that was the end of that. And it was always this time of bringing you to an understanding of where that came. And so I kind of felt that this week as I've been looking at this, because Paul, the apostle, finishes this scripture with a statement that we've all heard a lot of times, I'm sure. He says, the wages of sin are death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so all this week, I've been thinking about this, because what was the purpose of all that Paul has talked about here was to bring us to this statement that the wages of sin are death. The payment you get for making sin your master is death, physical death and spiritual death. But the free gift from God, see, you're not working for it. God gave it to you. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's not something that we've earned or are earning or can earn. It's a gift from God that he has given to us, to those who accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, to those who make that decision, to those who choose a different master. And he says, I want you to be encouraged by this. This is not written to us to say, look, this is your punishment, but rather to encourage us to say, you've turned away from all of that. That's who you used to be. But now you live in Christ. Now you're a child of God. Now you have all the blessings and rights that come with being a child and an heir to the kingdom. And you should be living according to that. Instead of continually leading back to your old ways. That should be gone. That should be out of your life. Get rid of all of that. You can't have two masters. You can only have one. And God should be the one to whom you turn. If this is who you are, then you should live your life according to that. Don't let yourself get dragged back. Don't keep going back to that. Instead, seek only what he is. Go for God. Do what he calls you to do. Because the benefits of living with God are so much greater. Why would you ever want to go back to that? If you remember what your life was like in sin, why would you ever want to go back to that life? No. You have a new life. God has given you a new heart. He's made you a new creation. You are a new person in Christ. Live your life according to that. And so today, I want to encourage you to remember that. Don't be discouraged by looking at the sin and going, oh, yeah, I used to, oh, man, boy, if I remember what I used to. He said, no, all of that's gone. You've given that up. You're living in God now, and I want to encourage us to seek him first, to put him first in our life, to let him be in charge, to let him guide us. And in doing that, we will grow and mature in Christ. That's that word sanctification, is really the maturing, the growing in Christ that we do. Mark 13:35, Jesus says to stay awake. So sometimes you go, well, I'm a mature Christian. I've been a Christian for umpteen years, whatever that is. You know what? That's no excuse. Don't get lazy. Don't get apathetic. Don't think you've got everything figured out. Because as soon as you start to get that attitude, Satan comes along and trips you, right? Because you're not watching where you're walking. You're not looking where you're going. And the next thing you know, you're in trouble. And Paul didn't write this to us only to the new believers. He wrote it to the church. And he wrote it to those who were struggling because they were continuing to go back to their old ways. And he's saying, stop that. Know who you are. Know where you came from, but know where you're going. Who are you following now? Are you a subject of King Jesus? And if you are, then you live your life according to him. Then be obedient to him. then make him the one to whom you will follow. Put him first in everything that you do. Paul doesn't do this to discourage us, but rather Paul says all of this to encourage us. And today I want you to be encouraged. I want you to go out and go, I'm a servant of a new king. I'm a servant of King Jesus. I belong to him. He's the one who guides my steps. He's the one who shows me how to live a life that is righteous before God. He's the one who leads me to do these things, and he's the one who I'm going to let be in charge in my life. Amen? All right, let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for this great day. God, I thank you because you are our King. You are our master. You alone and no one else. God, you love us so much that you sent Jesus to die for our sins. You love us so much that you paid the price we couldn't pay. You gave us the gift of salvation, God. Let us take advantage of that new freedom that we have by being obedient to you and living a life that is an example of you to those around us, by living a life that brings glory and honor to you, by doing your will and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us. Father, I pray that you will be with us every day, and that today and tomorrow and Wednesday and Friday, as we are out in the world and we are caught up in the things that are going on around us, that we would not ever forget how much you love us, what you've done for us, and how you want us to always be with you. Father, we thank you and we praise you, and we ask that you'll cause us to be bold when we're out in the world to share that good news of Jesus Christ with those around us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.